Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Alice G. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is February 22nd, 2022. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page XIII, forward to the first edition, and we are on the second paragraph. It is important that we remain anonymous. Through we shall be greatly handicapped, commenting on three paragraphs there, the second through the fourth paragraph. Today's readers are Terry H., Rhonda R., Barbara W., Dana P., Shelley E., and Jody E. is our newcomer greeter, and Eileen M. is on announcements. The reference number for Monday, February 21st, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,579. That's 18579. Today's Tuesday, February 22nd, 7 a.m. reference number is 18,584. That's 18584. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps for us, please.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Terry H., originally from Pensacola, Florida, but blessed to be at St. Andrew's Campground and phone service. I am a grateful compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, we admitted that we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people who were ever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening to the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve in February, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry H. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Alice. Thank you for your service. Happy Tuesday, 2/22. This is Rhonda R., grateful and recovered in Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XIII, forward to the first edition, and we're starting with the second paragraph. It is important that we, and we're reading down to the fourth paragraph, concluding with, we shall be greatly handicapped, and commenting on those three paragraphs only. I will now ask Barbara W. to begin reading for us, please.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. My name is Barbara W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Seattle, Washington. It is important that we remain anonymous because we are too few at present to handle the overwhelming number of personal appeals which may result from this publication. Being mostly business or professional folk, we could not well carry on our occupations in such an event. We would like it understood that our alcoholic work is an avocation. When writing or speaking publicly about alcoholism, we urge each of our fellowship to omit his personal name, designating himself instead as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Very earnestly, we ask the press also to observe this request, or otherwise we shall be greatly handicapped. Well, the word that jumps right out at me is avocation. And it tells me that these aren't professional people, necessarily. These aren't people that have a reason for doing this because maybe they're going to have more acclaim or things like that. This is strictly, like, I hate to use the word hobby, or it's like a volunteer organization, which it is. And they do it because it comes from their heart. But to protect, they're not like speakers on the speaker circuit and they're doing it for their acclaim. They're doing this because they are achieving a level of recovery they've never known before. And they want it to go to others. They want to speak to others who are in the same situation to share their recovery and what others could be have what they have. And it's like the guy this is an old fashioned because it talks about 100, you know, the 100 people, but we know it's gotten to be far, far beyond that. So even these few men, and some of them were professionals, in fact, most of them were, and they knew if they were the owner of a men's clothing store and they broadcast their name, I'm not so sure that men would want to go buy their clothes at that store. And so it's protection. Anonymity is a protection that while, let's say, I'm recovering, my name is strictly, you know, Betty W. And that's it. I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I'm here to get recovery and to turn my life around. And I think with that, I'll pass. And thank you for allowing me to serve today. Thank you for allowing me to serve in February. Take care. Thank Bye-bye.
You. Thank you, Barbara W. I will now take a list of names of those who want to share. If you haven't shared in the last 3 days, please press star 1 to unmute your phone, and I'll take a lineup.
Christy M.
Susan R.
C. Susan.
Shelly E.
Elena
C. Darian K.
All right, I'm missing some people because everybody's talking at once. Darian K. Shelly E.
Sue N. D.
Sue Ann Z.
D as in David.
Okay.
Elena C.
Elena C.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C. All right, I think we'll stop there. If I miss somebody, we'll catch you on the next round, please. So right now for the lineup, I've got Christy M., Susan D., Shelly E., Darian K., Elena C., Jordan L., and Penny L. C. Christy M., please star 1 to unmute and share with us.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful, recovering, bulimic, anorexic from Oregon. And this paragraph makes me think a lot about the importance of anonymity. I think, one, coming in to these rooms, I had so much shame around my story and around my eating disorder that I couldn't tell anyone. I didn't tell my partner, my kids didn't know, my parents didn't know. It was a terrible
secret. I'm sorry, there's a lot of background noise, Christy. I'm not sure if that's you or someone else needs to mute their phone. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, it's not me.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it was just this secret and this part of myself that I couldn't share with anyone, and I felt so much shame and around it, and to come into a place where I could openly share kind of the darkest and hardest part of myself, it required anonymity. I would not have been able to do it if I knew I had to tell my name and phone number and identity, and that anonymity gives us the space and gives us the freedom to come in and share, you know, openly something that I couldn't even share with the people that I was closest to in my life. And I think the other part of anonymity is, you know, this disease is an equalizer, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you're a brain surgeon or what you do for work. Like, at the end of the day, like, we're all struggling in the same way. It hits us all in the same way. It doesn't care, you know, like, what your financial status is, what your background is. It is, like, equal opportunity. And I think When we take away, the other thing that anonymity does is like take away, it takes away the title, right? It like takes away the status, and it like, it makes us all like, we're all the same. It doesn't matter what I do outside of here. It doesn't matter what I came in with. At the end of the day, this addiction is all the same. It doesn't matter. So I think in one way, anonymity gives us the freedom to share and be open about something that, you know, only somebody else who struggles with that same burden could truly understand. And it helps us let go of our pretenses of who we think we are outside of this, or how important we think we are, or we aren't. And when we show up, we're all just recovering overeaters. Like, that's it. And it doesn't matter. Anything outside of that isn't really that important, you know, in terms of, like, what we do in the world for work or... So, I think that's what I appreciate also about anonymity is that, you know, it makes us united in our common ailment. It makes us united in community, and it takes away all the outside stuff and puts us on the same level. So thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy M. from Oregon. Susan D., please star one to unmute and share with us. Susan, star one to unmute.
Hi, I'm Sue Ann D., and I am a recovering compulsive overeater, and what thoughts came to me was a building of trust. Anonymity provides a platform, at least for me, where I felt like I was a part of this group. They didn't need other details about me or my life, but because I have this compulsion for food and a need to follow the steps and a need to work with a higher power and surrender to a higher power, that was the commonality between us all. And maintaining anonymity just was another way to provide us the ability to trust each other without feeling like we were labeled in other ways or had a stigma attached to it. It was an acknowledgement that we are all the same. And that enables me to be able to make outreach calls to thousands of people who I know if I pick up the phone, I can trust them. With that, I pass. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Suzanne D. I didn't catch where you're from. Are you still there, Suzanne D? Can you unmute and share that with us? Suzanne D, can you star one to unmute and share where you're from?
I am from New York.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for your share. And next we have Shelly E, followed by Darian K. Shelly, star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Good morning. I think I'm still unmuted. This is Shelly E, a recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. And the first thing that I appreciated about these paragraphs was the realization that they had that this was going to be big, that they were not going to be able to handle, you know, the clamor of the amount of people that were going to need help. Because when I read the Big Book, I do hear such desperation, you know, and the hope that this book offered, I'm sure, was just incredible to families and to our fellows. And I'm sure, and I think they anticipated, oh my gosh, we're going to be overwhelmed. And they were. So I really see the importance that they remain anonymous, because again, that's not their vocation. They had vocations, and this is their avocation. And when I first entered the rooms, I didn't quite understand the importance of it. I was like, well, I don't care. This is awesome. I understood your anonymity, but I didn't understand mine. I just didn't quite get it. Of course, I was so selfish at the time. But having learned more about our program, I understand now the importance that we all be on even footing. And that's the beauty of our program, and that's the reason it has stayed the same for all of this time. It is an equalizer. We are all the same. Nobody in our program is allowed to become a quote-unquote god or a superstar, and we're very careful that that doesn't happen. And I will also say, when the pandemic first started, I was going to my first Zoom meeting, and I dialed in, and I ended up in some meeting in L.A., and I was like, what are all these quote-unquote stars doing in this room? I must not be in a meeting. And it occurred to me then, oh, my gosh, that's the importance of it. Everybody needs a place that they can go, that they can be themselves and not worry that someone's going to show up because they're there. That was such a light bulb moment for me. And I thought, wow, I just didn't even think about that in my little world, that, you know, the big guys need a place to go to, and you know, they're working their program just like we are. And it would be a huge handicap if people were to follow them in or just go because they knew they were in the rooms, and, oh, how unfair would that be? How difficult for their recovery. But anyway, with that, I'll pass, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you, Shelley E. Darian K., please star one to unmute and share with us, and then we'll have Elena C.
Good morning. This is Darian K. from the Berkshires in Massachusetts. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Thank you.
Super. All right. So I am so grateful to be with all of you this morning. I have my week off, so I'm doing a later meeting, and I just love vision meetings, no matter what time it is. And, you know, I just was thinking of a few things. First of all, it was nice for someone to sort of give the definition of advocacy. Or avocation. What I heard, because I didn't read what we were reading, is advocate with a D. So I thought that was kind of interesting because I'm a big advocate for program. But avocation, meaning hobby or something that we sort of do on the side. Before program, I never had any of that. I didn't have something that gave me passion that I'd love to do that I didn't have to do for work. You know, because I didn't know myself as well as I do now in program. And I feel like, so there's two sides of this, really. I love the hobby of spreading the word of OA to other people and helping you know, fellows come in and work the steps and, you know, get their footing and you know, eventually shine like we all do. But I also have to be very careful because I have a life outside of program too with the people in my life. And so I have to be very careful to not make it all encompassing, I guess, is what I'm coming to, you know, what it's coming down to. So there's, you know, a fine line of balance, and I'm always struggling with balance. You know, I can't put the amount of program I do on a daily basis on a food scale like I do my food. So, you know, I have to balance what I do in program and what I do in my life. But I know the better I work my program, obviously my life is better, and the people benefit from that as well. Yeah, and also the Zoom part, boy, you know, I have to be very careful not to look past the person's face, you know, at the things in the background and the, you know, fancy this or the little pictures of that, you know, because I can get caught up in that. You know, and I, you know, that's a very different world for us, right? Because when we went to face-to-face meetings, people drove in, sat down, had a seat just like the rest, you know, the person next to them. So for me, I have to be very careful about not judging or thinking someone is better than me because we are all equal in this fellowship, thank you, God. And we can recover together as a result of working the steps, you know, every day the same way. So Thank you so much for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Gary and Kay from Massachusetts. Now we'll have Elena C. Star 1 to share with us, please, and share where you are from, Elena, and then Jordan L.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
You can be heard, Elena.
My name is Elena C., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from South Carolina. I am very grateful to be here today and very, very amazed of how this vision meetings have totally changed my life in a way that I never thought it was possible. And I really appreciate this reading today. And just like other people were saying, it's about anonymity. And also, you know, what I came to mind is tradition 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation, the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, right? So what that means is that through anonymity, through leaving out names in the books, with the exception of Dr. Bob and Bill W., you know, people equalize themselves to others. And for me, you know, before this program, I was lonely. I was disconnected because, you know, first and foremost, addiction is a condition of disconnect. And, you know, the treatment of addiction is not necessarily stopping the substance, but it is connection. And so, you know, I learned to understand by anonymity. Anonymity is humility for me. It's about, you know, healing, and the process of healing means that I, that I'm the same like others, that I'm the same like this community. You know, I'm no different. And that I rely on a power greater than myself, and I'm not running the show anymore. And everybody here who's recovered or recovering is relying on the a power greater than ourselves. And then not only that, but I am connected with y'all. I'm connected with you guys. And that's also humility. And I'm not alone, you know. And I think of the term, instead of loneliness, solitude. When I'm in my solitude, I'm calm. And that's connection with my higher power, even if nobody else is around. You know what? I can experience this solitude, this conscious contact today, because I've been in this room. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elena C. from South Carolina. We will now have Jordan L., followed by Penny L. C.
Hey, good morning. This is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. I was just thinking about anonymity and sort of how that has changed for me in my personal recovery over the years. I'm kind of happy I didn't really understand what it meant when I first came in. I think that that's probably a good thing, because I wasn't ready to give up my dreams of being rich and famous. I came into the rooms at a pretty young age, and I look back on that now, and I see the value of my ego. I see the value of how it was that my ego, like, got me through some stuff that I needed to get through, you know? And I look back on that now, like, I can see that that's also God working in my life, you know? God's got this funny way that I get exactly what I need in that moment, you know? And sometimes that is humiliation that later turns into humility, and sometimes that is me walking freely into humility and welcoming it. But what I know about anonymity today is that, yes, it's important for me, but it's actually way more important for this fellowship as a whole. And it's really important that, kind of like what it's talking about here, when I speak in a meeting, that I'm making sure that I give credit for all of that to God in this fellowship, you know? Yes, I showed up. Yes, I did the work, most definitely. And I want to talk about that because that's helpful to someone else who's trying to decide if they belong here and if they want to do this work too, you know? but it's really important that I mention those things so that others understand that this isn't about me, you know? I'm just a participant here. And what that means is that if I can do it, you can do it too. and that's why that's what anonymous means to me today. That's what anonymity I've come to understand it as. And it's really important for the longevity of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. that this continues to be around for newcomers, and people can continue to come here and find a safe place. So thank you for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. Penny LC, please star one to unmute and share with us.
Good morning, Alice, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I need to begin by making my amends to the meeting. I was the one that was unmuted during Christy's share, so I apologize. And with looking at these paragraphs, I appreciate, too, that anonymity is addressed here. And to think about that they realized the importance of it in the very first edition of this book, and to have it be as early as, you know, 1939, when they were aware that this would be an important tradition, this would be an important practice in the 12-step rooms and outside the 12-step rooms, ongoing. For me today, I know I need to take it forward and honor the tradition and be sure to uphold it as I go forward in my recovery and with my interactions with fellows. I think it's really important that, as was mentioned, that this involves humility, that I know that it's not about me bragging, it's about me sharing the message. And what's important is honoring the message, not the messenger. I don't need to be the superstar. And I just need to pass on what's been passed to me. And in that way, I can maintain the integrity for myself, but also maintain the integrity for the program as it was intended. And two, what that also allows me to do is, as I'm giving of myself, I can give from the heart beyond just a sense of obligation. I can do it because it's what I understand is my purpose, to be of service. And I believe my higher power leads me and guides me to want to pass on the message, but do it in that humble way, and therefore maintaining that integrity. So grateful that we can do this together and we can honor each other by honoring anonymity. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC from Washington State. I will now take another lineup of names. If you haven't shared in the last 3 days, star one to unmute. And if you all could just speak one at a time, it helps me to hear everyone better. Thank you.
Babylonia A.
Babylonia A. Anyone else? Star
everyone to unmute and share what on the three paragraphs we read today on page XIII, forward to the first edition. It is important that we remain anonymous down to we shall be greatly handicapped. Star one to unmute if anyone else would like to share. All right, we'll start
Jonathan
with Babylonia. Go ahead, sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't hear those last two people. I think there was a gentleman.
Kristen R.
Kristen R. Anyone else? Star one to unmute so we can you can share with us today.
Diane N.
Say that again.
Jonathan G.
Karen
Diane
N. Okay, this is what we'll start with. I think I missed somebody, but we'll start with Avalonia A. Kirsten R., Jonathan G., and Karen W. Avalonia A., star one to unmute, and please share with us where you are from.
Good morning. My name is Babylonia. I'm from Southern California, and I think anonymity is a great thing because a lot of people probably wouldn't join or feel comfortable if it wasn't anonymous, because I know when it comes time to sharing phone numbers, a lot of people decline and don't want to share. And so it just makes everyone feel safe. And I just also want to shout out to God that God is good and He makes all things possible for this program for us to recover. And being a part of this program and being connected to God and being anonymous is all very humbling. And that humility, I heard a quote that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And someone just shared that it's not about me and in this program. And that really resonated with me this morning. I think God wanted me to hear that. And I'm just grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Abalonia A. from Southern California. Kirsten R., please star one to unmute and share with us where you're from.
Good morning. My name is Kristen R., and I'm from Virginia. Thank you for your service. I really appreciate everybody who puts this meeting together. So what this reading strikes in me is a real appreciation for anonymity. And just to piggyback off something someone said earlier, there's just no way I would have joined this program if it hadn't been for the anonymity. I'm too much of an introvert, too much of a, before recovery, I was too much of a secretive person too, to ever let anybody see who I was. So I'm grateful for the anonymity that this program promises, and that's been respected over the last, almost 100 years that this book has been in existence. I just want to say today that I'm very grateful for program, that I'm working on having God come into my relationship with my food. And I'm just grateful for all the love and support that I've received. And I'm always open to outreach calls if anybody wants to connect. I would really love it. I need to. It's good for my program. So thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Kirsten R. from Virginia. Jonathan G., please. Star one to unmute and share with us where you're from.
Hi, it says I'm unmuted, so you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Wonderful. One of the things about anonymity is that when I'm overweight, people can see that I'm overweight, and it's not a secret. And when now that I'm in recovery and I've lost a significant amount of weight, people see the difference. And I find that if I, and people have a tendency to want to make people who lose weight heroes. And that is a danger, because part of my recovery is not to become too egotistical and have an inflated sense of myself. So I have a challenge coming up in which I have to make a presentation to people who are very fond of me and knew me when I weighed a lot more. And they're either going to think that I have some terrible wasting disease or that I'm a hero. And neither of those is true. So I talked to my sponsor, and I think I'm going to tell them that I'm in a 12-step program, and I'm in Overeaters Anonymous, because honesty seems to be the best way to handle this. But it's I guess the thing about anonymity is that for me, it's a protection against telling myself that I'm really a hero. Really, it's God and this program that are providing the means of escape from my disease. So I pass.
Thank you, Jonathan G. Karen W., star one to unmute and please share with us. And please share with us where you're from, Karen.
Good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And I just need to say thank you to everybody who emphasized about leveling the playing field. Because I can get stuck in one of two places. Either I'm better than you or I'm not as good as you. And if I feel not as good as you, I'm not as smart as you, I'm not as accomplished as you, then I feel very inadequate to do anything in a relationship with you. And they were just really, really wonderful reminders for me. So I'm going to thank everybody and pass.
Thank you so much, Karen W. from New York. We have time for a couple more shares, if anyone would like to share.
Diane.
Go ahead.
Diane N.
Diane N. Anyone else? Star one to unmute so they can share with us today. All right, Diane N., please star one to share and let us know where you're from as well, Diane.
Good morning. I'm Diane N. From Metro Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you for this opportunity to share and for all of your work today. That word anonymity really resonated with me also as well. It reminded me of when I first came into the rooms. I was in my 20s, and that was about 40 years ago. But the first night I came, at the end of the reading, they said, "Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, welcome home." And at the end of that meeting, I've been here ever since. I haven't been in recovery ever since, but I have been in the rooms ever since because I knew there was nowhere else to go. But anyway, after the meeting, someone came up to me, a lady, and said that she could be my sponsor. I knew nothing about the program. And she gave me some ground rules. She said we eat three, and this was doing Grace Sheet. It was the dignity of choice. She said we eat three. She gave me the food plan. She said we eat three meals a day, nothing in between, and we take it one day at a time. No sugar, no white flour, which I have also been able to follow that part of it. But she also talked about anonymity. Because of anonymity, I've felt the freedom to come into the rooms and talk about things. I guess if I didn't know, and first of all, I couldn't even say the word anonymity. Not only did I not know what it meant, I couldn't say it. And she took her time and showed me how to say it. She said, just think of somebody's name who's Anna, and her first name is Anna, last name is Nimity. So ever since then, if anyone is having problems with that word, I use that same example. But like I said, not only did I not know what it meant, I hadn't thought about what it meant, but I've learned throughout the years how, because of anonymity, I can come into the rooms, share what's going on with me, and I don't have to worry about seeing it broadcast. We didn't have Facebook, but anyway, if I didn't have to worry about people telling it again, because I am selfish and think everybody is thinking about me. I guess I was thinking that maybe they're going to be talking about me to other people who didn't even know me. But anyway, I respect that tradition. I respect anonymity because it gives me a sanctuary. This is a safe place for me. I can come in these rooms, talk about where I'm at, and don't have to worry about hearing it again. Thank you for letting me share. Sorry for the noise. I'm out. Okay. I pass.
Thank you so much, Diane Ann from Georgia. Anyone else like to share today? Star one to unmute.
Carlene B.
Carlene B. and Susan. All right, Carlene, star one to unmute and share with us where you're from.
Hi, Arlene.
Arlene, I apologize.
That's all right, from Los Angeles, California. You know, I wasn't going to share, but I started to think about anonymity. And my husband is in this program. I met him here. And one thing I realized is that I love the word anonymity. And I also have to, there have been issues at when there were FaceTime meetings that sometimes was not honored. And so for me, what I needed to do was when I would share, and whether my husband was there or not, I would not share any details that I did not want to get back to him. Because I had to realize that I, as much as I love the tradition of anonymity, there were also still human beings. And I just love the idea that people can come into this room and remain anonymous. Sometimes it's been difficult when famous people have come in one particular situation, and I really feel that that's difficult because people tend to look and et cetera and so forth. And I always pray, I want it to be a safe place for anybody and everybody to come in. So I think anonymity is amazing. And as with the big book, I think that tradition is brilliant. Anyway, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Arlene B. from California. Susan, star one to unmute, and please share with us where you're from. And the first initial of your last name, I didn't catch that.
Susan S., Louisiana.
Thank you.
The thing that I've kind of been mulling over, you know, as everybody's speaking and just kind of really thinking about the paragraph and what everybody's saying, it just kind of started making me think about what if the program was not anonymous, you know, what if there people in the group were not anonymous, and it just made me think of, you know, other programs I've seen that are endorsed by, you know, celebrities and that type of thing. And I thought about how, what my reaction would be, you know, what value I would give to that. And, you know, I started to think about that maybe, you know, if there was a celebrity attached to a program, then I would start to think of that program in terms of, you know, the success or failure of the program in relation to that particular person. And so I think it was just really brilliant of them, genius, to have the and I guess attribute that to God, you know, giving them the foresight to think that it should remain anonymous because I guess maybe they had the foresight, maybe they didn't know, but were just divinely inspired or something to keep it anonymous, you know, so that people would not think of the program in terms of, you know, success or failure attached to a particular person, because, I mean, we are recovering overeaters, and you know, in recovery, I mean, we hope we don't backtrack and fall off the wagon, but sometimes we do. And, you know, if that was attached to a celebrity and it was publicized, you know, then people would say, oh, well, you know, that program doesn't work because, look, that celebrity tried it and, you know, it didn't work for them and they didn't stay recovered forever. And the other thing that I was thinking about also is that as human beings, we have a tendency to compare ourselves to one another. And so, you know, if we didn't remain anonymous to some extent, then, you know, I feel like we still do to some extent, but it kind of,
that's time for you.
It just regulates it to some extent that we don't try to compare our weight loss to other people's weight loss as much because of the anonymity. And so with that, I pass. Thank you for my chance to speak.
Thank you so much, Suzanne S. from Louisiana. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I'd like to thank Team Tuesday for your assistance in the month of February and for the opportunity to serve. Will Dana P. please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Alice. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Fantastic. Yes, thank you for your service and for everyone here in the month of February. It's quite an honor. Dana P. here in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.